Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskrityam.
Narayanam namaskrityam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jayamudiraye.
Tato jayamudiraye.
Prayeshvabhadreshu
Krishna Prayeshvabhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki.
We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Text number 20. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan nivetaro yato jagatstana niroda sambhava tati swayam veda bhavamstatapite Pradesha Matram Bhavata Pradarshitam. Translation. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself this cosmos, and still He is aloof from it. From Him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated. In Him it rests, and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Your good self knows all about this. I have given only a synopsis. These words are spoken by Narada Muni. He's giving instruction to his disciple, Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Prabhupada's purport. For a pure devotee, the conception of Mukunda, Lord Sri Krishna, is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal cosmic situation is also Mukunda, because it is the emanation of the energy of Mukunda. For example, a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and the branches of the tree are emanated parts and parcels of the tree. The leaves and branches of the tree are also the tree, but the tree itself is neither the leaves nor the branches. The Vedic version that the whole cosmic creation is nothing but Brahman means that since everything is emanating from the Supreme Brahman, nothing is apart from Him. Similarly, the part and parcel, hands and legs, are called the body, but the body as a whole unit is neither the hands nor the legs. The Lord is the transcendental form of eternity, cognition and beauty, and thus the creation of the energy of the Lord appears to be partially eternal, full of knowledge and beautiful also. The captivated conditioned souls under the influence of the external energy Maya are therefore entrapped in the network of the material energy. They accept this as all in all, for they have no information of the Lord, who is the primal cause. Nor have they information that the parts and parcels of the body, being detached from the whole body, are no longer the same hand or leg as when attached to the body. Similarly, a godless civilization, detached from the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is just like a detached hand or leg. Such parts and parcels may appear like hands and legs, but they have no efficiency. The devotee of the Lord, Srila Vyasadeva, knows this very well. He is further advised by Sri Narada to expand the idea so that the entrapped conditioned souls may take lessons from him to understand the Supreme Lord as the primeval cause. Oh, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is elaborating on this statement by Narada Muni. In the translation, Narada Muni, the translation begins that the Supreme Lord himself is this cosmos, and still he is aloof from it. So Prabhupada takes up this discussion about impersonalism, because people often think that this world is God. You know, it says here this cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Brahman. So we may think this world is God. It is certainly part of God. It is part of the creation, the energy of God. But God is much more than this world. Just like last night, one lady was questioning to me about the common statement, philosophy, which is there in India today, that manava seva, madhava seva. You know, service to man is service to God. But I said it's actually service to God is the real service to man. You see? Because when you serve man, how many men are you able to serve? There's very few people you can serve. And how much service can you do for people as well? That will also be limited. If we really want to help mankind, the best help we can give to our fellow man is by serving God. Now, one who serves God will also do his best to help others. He will not be miserly or hard-hearted. He will be a kind person. He will be charitable. Just like a devotee, when we worship the Lord, we will offer foodstuffs. We can also distribute that food to the people. Prasadam is available for everyone. We invite everyone to come and join our programs and hear the spiritual discourse, chant the holy name, and they can also take prasadam. But our purpose should not be to simply try to feed the poor. Or neither should it be simply to open hospitals to help the sick. There will always be, you know, some inequality in the world. Some people will be richer than others. You can't make everyone the same. That is impossible. That even in the communist society, Prabhupada went to Russia in the early 1970s. When it was communist. And he saw someone is sweeping the road, someone is driving in a car. Is that equality? No. People, even in the socialist and the communist country, you don't find equality. There's some difference there. But on the spiritual platform, there is equality. On the spiritual platform, everyone is a pure soul. On the material platform of this body, people are not equal. Someone's born with a healthy body and someone's born sick. Someone's born with a lot of intelligence and someone has practically no brain at all. And people are all born in different conditions of life, not by chance, but according to their past deeds, their past activities. Karma, the laws of nature. Everyone's suffering and enjoying by their own qualification, the results of their past deeds. But on the spiritual platform, everyone is a pure soul. They're equal. And there's meant to be cooperation in the society. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said, he created these divisions of society. People are equal, but they have different natures, different qualities, different, they're able to do different kinds of work. Someone by nature is an intellectual, he's inclined to read books and study. And someone else by nature is a controller, he likes to manage. Someone else's nature is to do business, and someone else's nature is to serve. In this way, the different divisions of society are created. They're not created by people, by just some brahmanas who wanted to make themselves superior to others, but these divisions of society are the arrangement of God Himself. But, like in a body, the different parts of the body help each other. You must know the story about how the parts of the body had a meeting, and there was some discussion that, why are we working all day to feed the belly? The belly's getting the food. We're doing all the work. We should go on strike. He said, yes, let's not do it anymore. The hand said, I'm tired of this. And the mouth said, I'm also tired. It's all going to the belly. So they said, we'll all go on strike. So they stopped. The legs stopped walking. The hands didn't move. And there was no food going in the belly. So what happened? All the different parts of the body became weak. They fail to understand that when they feed the belly distributes energy to all the parts of the body. So in the same way, there's meant to be cooperation between the different orders in the society. Of course, in this age, Kali Yuga, we can't expect to recreate these different divisions of society as they were in the Vedic times. That would be impossible. But there is a need for people to come to God consciousness, to put God in the center of all of our activities. This is known as the Ishyavashya society, a society with God in the center. Where people have a common center, then people can work together cooperatively for the benefit of the world. So in this way, there will be no scarcity for anyone. In the Vedic society, everyone was provided for. Even more, just over maybe 150 years ago, there are records of people, someone came from England to visit India, and he said he'd never seen such a country. There were no beggars. Everyone was having food, everyone was housed, everyone was engaged in some kind of employment. This is how India used to be. Times have, changed. The influence, the age of Kali has become more prominent. But in the Vedic society, everyone was looked after for. Everyone was given food, sufficient food, and clothing. They had opportunity to work. In this way, there is cooperation between people. So this is the Vedic concept of life, people cooperating together, seeing everything in relation to God. Mahatma Gandhi had the idea he would rubber stamp people, that he wanted to use Harijan for people. But that didn't change people's position just by giving them a name. Just by giving people a name, that didn't help to change people's position in life. It wasn't enough. We have to do more than that. Incomplete. In the same way, if we see this world as just being God, that's also incomplete. There's an example about the blind man massaging the elephant. I think everybody knows that, right? The man, one man's holding the leg and he's blind. So describe the elephant, he said, it's like a big tree, right? Another man's at the side of the elephant, he said, oh, it's like a wall. Someone else has got the tail of the elephant, he said, it's like a broom. And someone's got the trunk of the elephant, the big trunk, he said, it's like a big hose. Someone's got the tusk of the elephant, said, it's like a spear. Now they're all correct. But they're only describing a part of the elephant, you see? So in the same way, if we think God is impersonal Brahman, if we think he's just energy, that is also incomplete. It's not the complete picture. It's not wrong, but it's not complete. It's much more than that. You see, there's much more. You have to go on to understand there's also Paramatma. And after Paramatma, there is Bhagwan, the Supreme Lord. Just like there's the sunlight, and the sunlight is coming from the sun planet. And when you go into the sun planet, you'll find there's a sun god there also. So we can't just think, oh, there's the sunlight. The sunlight also has its origin. So this world, this is a manifestation of the Brahman. But the Brahman is much more than just this world. So often people, they don't understand like this. They just accept what they see. They say seeing is believing. But seeing is not enough. Our eyes don't see everything. Our senses are limited. How much can we see? We cannot see in the dark. We cannot see behind us. We cannot see within this body. Our vision is, our senses are imperfect. We have to do more than just simply see. We have to hear. Perfect knowledge is acquired by hearing. But hearing not just from anywhere and anyone, but hearing from the Vedic source, from the Lord Himself. The Vedic knowledge comes from God Himself. We have to understand that God is there, and He's a person, and we have a relationship with Him. If we think there's no God, that is foolish. When we look at this world, we see within this creation there's so much order. There's so much arrangement. Who has arranged all of these things? Just like we come here to Kuwait and it's in the desert. So we may say, nobody's in charge. Nobody made it. How did it all come about? All the buildings and roads and communication. Who made it? Oh, it just came from nowhere. It just came about. Or we could, someone else may say, if someone's a Buddhist, they'll say, it's all illusion. It's not real, right? That's the Buddhist philosophy. Everything is zero. Everything is void. Nirvishesha and Shunyavada are the two philosophies which Prabhupada is preaching against because they're imperfect. This world is not illusion. It is real. But it is temporary also. We have to understand the proper nature of things. We shouldn't be blinded by, we shouldn't be influenced by all of these bogus philosophies. We have to hear from the proper source, hear from the Vedic literature. The Vedas are here to guide us in this world. The Vedas come from God Himself. And they're meant to guide us, to show us how to live in this world and how to make a success of our life. Just like when you purchase some, you know, you purchase some computer or handphone or something, you get some manual with it, how to operate it, how to use it. In the same way, when we come in this world with the human, we're given the human body, the Vedas are there. They're meant for mankind. The Vedas are meant to help mankind to get out from this material world, from the samsara, from this wheel of birth and death. So we have to take help from these Vedic literatures. The Lord gave this knowledge to Brahma. Tenhi Brahma Ridaye Adi Kapaye. That in the beginning of the creation, the Vedic knowledge was imparted into the heart of Brahma. And Lord Brahma, he gave this knowledge to Narad, his son, Narad Muni. Narad Muni, he is giving this same knowledge. We're reading how he gave it to Vyasadev, his student. Vyasadev, he was a guru of Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, he was a great acharya, a Vaishnava acharya. He had gone to Himalayas and he found Vyasadev. Vyasa is still there in Himalayas. 1,000 years ago, Madhvacharya went to Himalayas, found Vyasadeva and took initiation from him. And he came back and preached that philosophy throughout India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation in that line coming from Madhvacharya. And that same line is coming today. We're reading Bhaktivedanta Swami's purports on the same teachings as it was given by the Lord Himself to Brahma. Now, this is Vedic knowledge. It is eternal. And this knowledge has been here since time immemorial. It's not just 5,000 years old. It's eternal knowledge. The same knowledge is there in the spiritual world, but it has been given into this material world by the Lord through His different devotees, beginning with Brahma. So we should understand God is not impersonal, but he is impersonal, but He's not only impersonal. He's both person and impersonal. He's everything in our experience and beyond it, right? He's both personal and impersonal. He is energy, but He's not only energy. He is also a person. We are persons. If God is not a person, then we're greater than God. We're something He's not. How could that be? No, we are everything He is, but He is much more. He is a perfect person. We are imperfect persons. We are the conditioned souls. But He is the perfect, supreme person with the spiritual body. So He is impersonal, but He is also a person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is known as Achintya Beda Abeda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. Inconceivably, simultaneously one and different. The Supreme Lord is one with this creation and He's also different from it. This is inconceivable. But the Lord is inconceivable. We cannot understand Him with our imperfect senses, our limited mind and our senses. We cannot understand what is unlimited. Our mind, our thinking, our whatever we use to get knowledge, that's all limited. We are limited, but God is unlimited. So how can we understand Him? We can only understand Him when He reveals Himself to us. And He reveals Himself to us through this knowledge, through the scriptures, through these teachings of like scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Vedic knowledge. So this we have to understand. If we go out at night, we want to see the sun. You can't put a big light up in the sky and expect to see the sun. But in the morning, the sun rises on its own. And we can see the sun. In the same way, we cannot force God to reveal Himself to us. But He can. He Himself can reveal when He wants to reveal Himself. So this should be understood. This is the Vedic knowledge. Any questions, comments about this? You see, Buddhism was a prominent philosophy in India. It was a political reaction against social injustice. Because the Brahmanas had become corrupt and degraded. Brahmanas were encouraging animal slaughter. And in the name of Vedic sacrifice, they were killing many animals. Therefore, the Lord came as Buddha, as Lord Buddha, and He led the people away from the Vedas. And by leading the people away from the Vedas, they no longer listened to the Brahmanas. Lord Buddha taught that the cause of this material world is suffering. And the cause of suffering are desires. We have to purify our desires. We agree with that. But that's only part of the philosophy, you see. Lord Buddha only taught about the misery of the material world. He didn't teach about the soul. Why not? Because people couldn't understand. They were so atheistic at that time. He couldn't teach them. According to time and circumstance, you have to teach accordingly. If you go into primary school, you can't teach advanced mathematics or economics or anything. You have to teach the basic things, right? And just like Christianity, they're teaching very simple things. Love thy neighbor, don't steal, don't commit adultery, like the different basic moral teachings. But if you want to hear higher things are also taught. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago spoke Bhagavad Gita, a higher knowledge, much more complete. So Lord Buddha was teaching according to, it was an emergency incarnation actually. So he was teaching that there's suffering, there's misery in this world. We can avoid it by purifying or conquering over controlling desire, the Eightfold Path, what is known as the Eightfold Path of Buddhism. But it was a political reaction, and after some time, Shankaracharya came, defeated Buddhism and drove Buddhism out of India. Shankaracharya brought back the Vedas and established the Brahmins, good Brahmins, qualified Brahmins, not Brahmins who were materialistic and corrupt and degraded. Shankaracharya preached covered Buddhism, but he brought back the Vedas. But it, again, his interpretation of the Vedas was imperfect. It was Asat Shastra. He taught the Asat Shastra. He gave the impersonal interpretation of the Vedas. And therefore, after Shankaracharya, the Vaishnava Acharyas came to reveal the complete knowledge. Vaishnava Acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who synthesized the different Vaishnava teachings and brought them together in his own teaching of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So this is the history of India.
Maharaj, if there was a divine plan by the Lord, by which Shankaracharya came and he established the good Brahmanas, then why did over the subsequent years the Brahmanas got corrupted again and lost all the values which they were supposed to carry on? And we find that even recently, till Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and established the principles from a Brahmana, most Brahmana, at least in the northern part of India, had actually deviated from the core values of or the core qualities of a Brahmana.
Yes, well, it's the nature of creation that even you bring something back, you can't expect it's going to last forever. You see, it's the nature of this material world. Krishna has to come again and again to reestablish religious principles. Krishna says, Imam Vivishvate Yogam Proktabha Maham, I instructed this Vedic knowledge to the sun god Vivishvan. But in time it was lost. And therefore Krishna had to come again and re-establish it. So Shankaracharya brought back the Vedas. But as you say, after some time the Brahmanas again had, began to be influenced by the age of Kali. Therefore, Vaishnava Acharyas came. And they established, they preached also. But still, Shankaracharya's people, they're still there. And there are some good people. There are some, they are quite renounced.
Maharaj, on the same question, Maharaj, when Lord Krishna says in the fourth chapter that he taught this knowledge, and then now he's come to re-establish religious principles. But Maharaj, from history we see that shortly after the war, Lord Krishna departed himself, and then the age of Kali came, and then there was so much degradation. So difficult to understand where at one point Lord Krishna says he's come to establish, and then immediately afterward there is so much of religious catastrophe.
No, but Bhagavad Gita is there. You see, just like Arjuna, at first he was bewildered when Lord Krishna left this world. He was thinking, how to go on. But then he remembered Lord Krishna's teachings. So in the same way, after, Kali Yuga is here, there's problems. But then we start to remember, we have to take help from Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna's teachings are there. He came to speak the Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of people in the Kali Yuga. And after Lord Krishna departed, the sages spoke. They heard Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the absence of Lord Krishna, the sages wanted to know where are the religious principles to be found. And the answer is there. They're here in Srimad Bhagavatam. And books like the Bhagavad Gita. These scriptures give us light in this dark age.
Connecting to this question, actually we see the incarnation of the Lord. When Kalki comes, he wipes off everybody. And because of that, next we found that the cycle starts and we find wise people throughout the world after Kalki avatar. But how is that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, when Sri Krishna himself comes, the same question connecting to this, when he leaves and the whole world after that is Kali starts and everything is, and many people are more degraded. Even this Pandavas started leaving because Lord has left.
No, I'm not sure what's your question.
What I mean to say is Kaliki avatar comes, which is an incarnation of the Lord.
Yeah.
When it wipes off everything at the end of Kali, after that we find that since everybody is wiped off, the new cycle of Chaturyuga starts, and everybody is pious. Whereas when Lord Krishna himself is there, and he himself in the original personality of God himself is there, and since the same statement that Yada Yada Hi Dharmasi has come to establish, so but when he is living, then everybody should be adopted, Dharma should be there with everyone, and because the Kurukshetra battle is also fought.
Yes, but remember, Krishna is coming because his purpose is to speak Bhagavad Gita, because he knows it's coming time to Kali Yuga. Now the Kali Yuga has to come. You know, the four yugas are there. This is the arrangement of the creation, that you have these four yugas. And in the course of time, you have the degradation and then revitalization like that. So the Kali Yuga has to come. And the influence of the age of Kali, the nature of the age of Kali is irreligious. But Lord Krishna comes to speak the Bhagavad Gita to give benefit for those people who want to get shelter, who want to get some benefit. The age of Kali is also a good time in many ways. That although there's a lot of problems, a lot of faults, there's some very good things, right? That even the demigods, they want to take birth on the earth in the age of Kali, because it's so much easier in the age of Kali to go back to Godhead simply by chanting, and you don't have to be in the body for a long time. Life is short in the Kali Yuga. So in a short time, in a very easy process, one can go back to Godhead. When Lord Krishna comes, he speaks the Bhagavad Gita. People are fallen and degraded, but they're not everyone. There are devotees, and the devotees are teaching and they're preaching, and they're trying to give this knowledge to as many people as will take it. You can't expect everyone will take, but you know, certainly, you know, the message of Krishna is there, and people who can take advantage of it in this age of Kali.
But the message of Krishna is not taken by everyone, whereas the onslaught of Kali is accepted by everyone.
But actually, even for devotees, they're not so much affected by this onslaught of Kali. If one is devotee, we're under the umbrella of Krishna. We have the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. You know, although age of Kali is there, devotee is not so much influenced by this age of Kali. He's free of the vices of the people of Kali Yuga. Right.
Maharaj, may I add something small to this?
Yeah.
Maharaj, while you were speaking, I was thinking that in the Bhagavatam it is said when Lord Krishna was personally present, there were very few people who realized that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But after Lord Krishna gave the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and by the mercy of our Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada and yourselves, now if we see the number of people who at least understand that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in numbers would definitely be more than what would have existed in the past. So maybe this can substantiate that how the religious principles are indeed established if we want to just see the number of people who now know or realize that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, that we are seeing the message of Krishna is brought out at least of Bharat Vars. It's not just in India, it's everywhere. Hmm? Of course, we say 5,000 years ago, the message of, you know, Vedic culture was everywhere also. But we're certainly hopeful that more and more people can get the message, get the blessing of Lord Krishna's instructions, and the chanting of the holy name, of the Bhagavad Gita.
Maharaj, you said about the Brahmaji that he is coming to the Sampradaya, that he received knowledge from the Lord. And that's similar, there are three other Sampradayas out there. So the knowledge is same in all the Sampradayas? I mean, this Mahamantra chanting and all the knowledge given in the Bhagavatam, the same knowledge is given to the all the Sampradayas?
Well, all Sampradayas accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality. They accept the Lord as a person, let's say. They accept the Lord as a person. Some worship Krishna and some are more Vishnu. They have, you know, different features of the Lord, but they all accept the Lord as a person and they see the devotee as a servant. So that mood of servant, master is there. The position of being the man, it's distinct, it's quite distinct from the impersonal teaching of Shankaracharya, that you can become the one, you become one with the Supreme. But they all maintain eternal servant of the Lord, even after liberation, even after entry into the kingdom of God, you're still the servant. Your position is to be the servant of the Lord. You don't become the Lord.
When it is said, Maharaj, if you worship Lord Vishnu, you go to Vaikunth Loka. But to go to Golok Vrindavan, you have to worship Radha Krishna.
Yes.
So that the worshipping Radha Krishna is not in the Madhav Sampradaya. What is Madhav Sampradaya? Is Brahma Sampradaya and all Sampradaya?
Worship of Radha and Krishna is here in Nambarka Sampradaya. And it's also, of course, within our own Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhvacharya himself, he worshipped Krishna. And the mood of actually this conjugal rasa with the Lord, this came after Madhvacharya, and this was introduced by Madhavendra Puri. And Lord Chaitanya gave a lot of honor and respect for Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was a great devotee who he actually discovered the Krishna deity, which on Govardhan Hill, which is there in Srinathji. So he was a very great devotee, and he had this mood of separation, feeling the separation from the Lord, serving Krishna in separation.
So this conception of conjugal love is not in the other three sampradayas?
It's in Nambarka Sampradaya. It's in Nambarka Sampradaya, and in Vishnu Swami's Sampradaya, a little bit, they give some importance to also this Madhurya Ras.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.
Jai. 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 J